Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With the pump fake and a one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach. And we are a Camillus Anthony podcast that occasionally talks fantasy basketball. Natty, how you doing today?
I am copacetic, bro. How are you?
To be perfectly honest, overwhelmed, because I don't know where you want to start, but there is so much shit that we need to talk about. I thought initially that this was just going to be maybe like a kind of a draft recap, and we could bask in the glory of your Detroit Pistons getting Cade Cunningham and finally having purpose and finally having a future. The NBA free agency hits, and we've got people moving all over the place and teams looking wildly different. And so in a good host fashion, I'm going to pass the buck to you, Natty, and I'm going to say, Natty, direct us where to go. Where do you want to start? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think everyone, I mean, we'll just start in the obvious spot, right? The Minnesota Timberwolves. Wow.
Trade Ricky Rubio.
What a draft and what a free agent period. They're really pulling themselves together. I'm so impressed.
They are building an excellent package for Ben Simmons.
Like, I forgot the Timberwolves were an NBA team.
Which is never a good sign. That's never what you want as an NBA like team. If you're running an NBA team, you're like, the worst thing possible is like you just forget that they're a part of the league.
I mean, they're just insignificant until they make some kind of move. And you know, maybe there are a lot of free agents left. I mean, technically, Kawhi Leonard hasn't signed. John Collins, Lauri Markkanen, Arjax, Avery Bradley, Schroeder. Let's see who else.
I like how Schroeder is like the saving grace for the Timberwolves. Like, Timberwolves fans, your team hasn't done anything yet, but Dennis Schroeder could be the savior.
How about Flyer on Depot? Like a 2-year deal, maybe? Like, you come back, I don't know, halfway through
the season. I'm telling you, dude, you were right with the first player. The Timberwolves are about to blow everyone's fucking mind and sign Kawhi Leonard.
Wouldn't that be the coolest thing that ever
happened?
Wouldn't
that be absolutely amazing? That team, if the Timberwolves signed Kawhi Leonard, where would they finish in the West? What jump would they make? Because you're now talking about Kawhi Leonard joining with one of the most talented, when he's, you know, healthy and on the court, big men in the NBA and Big Cat, and one of the best young players in Anthony Edwards. Like, is that a quote unquote big three that could get you top 4 seed in the West, top 5 seed in the West? Certainly, well, top 5, I would think.
Not this coming season, because Kawhi out, he gone for probably the whole season, maybe the playoffs.
Oh, that's true. You're totally right.
You forgot that he's injured because Kawhi is the human analog of the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is why your idea is great.
Which is why it's perfect
going there.
It's absolutely perfect. Kawhi Leonard, they're going to pull a Nets, and Kawhi Leonard is going to sign with the Timberwolves, and they're going to be fucking amazing in 2022.
It's just like, I feel for Kat so hard. Like, he's had such a terrible life over the past 2 years. And, you know, like, Ant is the coolest. He's
the best.
Like, just the most awesome, fun young player. Like, he's a fun player, you know, which is something that I think the Timberwolves have been lacking, like,
yes,
seriously fun players.
And just like marketable people who you're like excited to see and be, and, you know, like just guys who create not only highlight plays on the court, but also just like Anthony Ant's post-game interviews were like, you had to watch them because they were incredible. They were great. I think that's, you know, that's, that is a good sign. It's good. Yeah, good for your team.
He's awesome. And love Cat and everybody else can go kick rocks, man. Like, I don't give a goddamn, even though they do have interesting young players, I think, like, I don't think any of them should keep you from trading them.
God, if
you can absolutely upgrade. But anyway, all joking aside, Minnesota's been quiet. Let's just get it out of the way because we were talking about it before we started recording. How about those Green guys? What the fuck?
Hey, man. The Celtics, this is Brad Stevens is fully preparing for everyone other than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to be off the books in 2022 so that he can sign Bradley Beal. That is what is happening.
I agree with that. I don't think he's actually going to be the one that signs it. I think that Bradley Beal wants the 10-year player, you know, maximum.
He has been hella committed to Washington. Like, good for him, man.
Dude, you can get more money if you stay surpass with the team. Yeah. Certain landmarks, and he will do that next year, which means that he can get his full bag of money.
Yep.
And maybe if they can do like a sign and trade or something like that, I don't know. But I mean, Brad Beal and Tatum are supposed to be friends and have wanted to play together for a long time.
If you say this, Beal, you say this like this is like conjecture. They are very good friends. This is a fact.
Okay. I guess I meant it in the spirit of like, well, you know, if Bradley Beal really wanted to be on the Celtics, he'd be there already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true.
He would have been there 2 years ago.
So if you don't think Bradley Beal is the guy, who do you think, who are they going to use all this cap space on? I don't know. I can't list off the top of my head who's also a free agent in 2022.
Well, we were just talking about Cat. Maybe that's when he asks for a trade.
Don't even tempt me with that.
Like, there are definitely, I don't think we can think. That's a terrible way to start a
sentence. I don't think we can think, you guys. I just don't think that that's something we should be doing right now.
Player movement can occur under a lot of different circumstances now. Mm. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's true. Always happening. The NBA is always churning. So I don't think we have to wait for off seasons unless the money is really involved. You know, like either the team doesn't have the cap space or the player wants the largest possible salary.
Right.
So, you know, in 2 years, anything can happen. After this season. So if Beal finishes off this season, he can get the largest possible contract.
Yes.
With his service time from the Wizards.
Yes.
If those three are together on one team, however it works out, that is dynamite, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's absolutely incredible. You aren't really concerned. Like, you can find a point guard. You can find a center. You know, like, those are, so long as you have those three wings, that's beautiful. And you know, outside of like LeBron and AD, I think that is probably the apex of what you're hoping for in team formation right now, you know, or I guess Paul George and healthy Kawhi too.
Well, and you have the Nets. They're pretty good.
Yeah. But their defense is, they're not
two way. You're
the way that Brown and Tatum are and LeBron and AD are.
Very true. Good point. Well said. Well smart.
But you know, it's also like Boston can tread water. Like, I think everybody saw, like, okay, the team really didn't work out. Like, maybe we had a window, maybe we had a shot. Kemba didn't work. We lost Hayward. We had a lot of bad luck. Like, a lot of bad luck. Gordon Hayward broke his goddamn body. Yeah.
Yeah. His leg snapped in half. And then just last year, Tatum had COVID.
Right.
So like this, yes, it's been a very bumpy ride up until this point. And so I could see something in a situation where it's just like, let's kind of take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Like, let's first year coach, you're going to have first year, you know, head of basketball ops. Josh Richardson is now on the team, and that's, you know, he's he's going to become an immediate star and one of the top five players in the NBA. So that's something to look forward to.
I would like that. I'm a Jay Rich guy.
Good, good. This is good. I need you to have a vested interest in the Celtics.
I think if you put him in a situation to succeed,
I think he's a good player.
He will succeed. Yeah. He's a guy that's been that 1 year in Miami.
Yes.
Really overstated how useful he can be to a team. And, yes. You know, that's why Philly wanted him. I mean, shit, I wanted him.
I mean, yeah.
But they haven't really used him properly in all of his stops. And yes, he's not as good, it seems, like, you know, he's not scary Terry Rozier. He hasn't blossomed into the playoff best version of himself. But maybe he will in Boston, where they're going to be asking him to do similar things to what he was doing in Miami.
He feels to me like an Avery Bradley equivalent, you know, in the sense where it's like a wing defender who can score, but is not you're not relying on him being like your, you know, top three offensive producer.
Oh yeah, totally. You're an absolute complimentary player right here.
Whereas like I feel you, like in the past when he's been moved like the Sixers or with, what was he just on the Mavericks? Like yeah. Those moves are kind of like, well, we kind of need you to be, you know, and maybe it's just how the team's built where it's just kind of like, you're kind of naturally thrust into that, like be a top three, top four offensive contributor. Whereas like with the Celtics, it's like, nah, that's not your bread, you know.
But also like you're our wing stopper. You're yeah. the elite perimeter right. defender, you know, right. like we expect a lot from you. And, you know, when he had a better system and better defenders around him, well, I guess you can't say that Philly doesn't have good defenders, but, they thought of him like as a typical apex 3-and-D player, and he's not.
Right.
So, I mean, I like that. There's no pressure. And I do think that there's something to be said for a team with two young all-NBA talent players in a season where, like, the Nets might be healthy. Yeah, sure. Maybe you don't have to, like, throw all your chips in.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that's – I mean – yes, I think that is a fair point, especially with a team like that, that is not necessarily built. Like when the Warriors were together, somehow that felt like it had more longevity than what this Nets team is. This Nets team feels like it's maybe has like 1 year in it before it kind of explodes.
All of their contracts are up, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So then, playing, it's not the long game, but it's definitely – the Celtics are definitely building. Brad is definitely building with this intention of like 2022 is we're going to put the chips in the table then. And we're going to do what happened for the Celtics to win the 08 championship, which was that offseason, traded for Ray Allen. They traded for Kevin Garnett. They built that team and then they went on to win the championship. I feel like that's kind of what they're priming for. We're a similar situation where it's like, give it a year, let Tatum step up to that MVP level, let Jaylen step up to that all NBA level, like firmly cement yourselves there. And then in 2022, when the Nets maybe are not what they are, the Heat, who knows what they are going to be with big ass Kyle Lowry, big booty Lowry. And then the Sixers, Lord knows what the Sixers are. And so really it's like the Bucks is hopefully what you're, you know, ultimately going to be contending with. And then you put all your chips into the middle. You can tell, Natty, that this is a podcast run and operated by East Coast fans. And ones
I wouldn't go that strong.
And ones
you're a Boston fan.
That's true. But like
I just like the beautiful sport of basketball.
People. Well, I was gonna say, this clearly we are not in this for the clicks, because if we are in this for the clicks, we should have been spending the entire hour talking about Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers and the Lakers building this super team. And we should have just been spewing shit about LeBron or some hot takes about LeBron, because that's what get clicks. But I mean, we should probably spend some moment on the fact that the draft came and the most Kings thing possible has this trade set up with Buddy Hield to go to the Lakers for Kuzma and Harrell. And I think a pick or something. And all set up, ready to go. My guess is they've even told Buddy Hield, like, you're out the door, buddy. And then all of a sudden, Washington's like, actually, you know what? we'll give you Russell Westbrook. And GM LeBron was like, done, sign on the dotted line. And so KCP, Kuz, Harrell, and I think a second round pick, first round pick, go out to Washington for Russell Westbrook. So now you have the Sarge with LeBron and AD. And I actually saw you wrote an article about this, Natty, on Fake Teams, which everyone should go read, talking about the underrated. What's it? Can we say that? Can we say that Russell Westbrook's greatness is underrated? Because I do feel like it's perpetually, everyone perpetually feels that he's just like this bad contract player, when in reality he offers, like, he is a basic lock playoff berth.
He's only missed them twice.
That's insane. That's insane.
Like, he's an MVP who broke the triple-double, seemingly impenetrable barrier. He is also a guy who doesn't get as injured, usually, as LeBron and AD. Like, long story short, I was just suggesting that LeBron wants to do this because he's worried about injury absences or rest maintenance absences, right, for himself and AD. Russell Westbrook is a guy who can keep the team afloat while one or both of the others aren't there.
Yes.
And if, you know, Russ is out, then hopefully one of the other two or both of the other two are there. But there are very, very few players in the NBA who can actually take over a game, who can actually will their teams to the playoffs, and Westbrook is one of those players. Like, the latter half of last season, the Wizards were one of the best teams by record in the NBA. That's, I mean, because Westbrook got healthy.
It's so interesting to me that Westbrook has this, like, salary dump reputation in the last couple of years, when Chris Paul has this reputation of, like, if your team wants to go to the playoffs and makes a big jump, get Chris Paul on your team. It's like, Westbrook does the exact same thing. He's proven that also, if your team, if you just want to take your team to the playoffs, there is no better player in the NBA to have on your roster than Russell Westbrook, because he will, like, put the entire team on his shoulders and shoot every shot, grab every rebound, and make every assist in order to make sure that your team has a playoff berth. And I think you're totally right, Natty, where in a season where the Lakers were a bottom seed for the playoffs and had to play in the play-in and got bumped in the first round because of that seeding, because of them taking off games for management, and it no longer being the, you know, the LeBron can't any longer just, like, turn it on and be like, I'm the best player in the world and I will win this series single-handedly. I think now Russell Westbrook is the perfect player to bring in. He wanted to be back in LA first off, the perfect player to bring in and be like, okay, if we can't play all 82 games, Russell Westbrook will make sure the Lakers are not only a playoff team, but a good seeded playoff team. And then if you add 45 games of LeBron and 45 games of AD at the minimum, that's a lot. That's half the season. I meant more.
Yeah, but that's what they did this past season.
Right.
Like, you cannot depend upon health at LeBron's age. And right, you can't depend upon health with AD. And, I mean, you can't depend upon health for anybody. And Westbrook does get injured. But they have a big three now. The reason you have a big three is to get to the playoffs, to make, yep, sure that you get to the playoffs.
Yep.
If one of them is injured in the playoffs, then, you know, maybe you're sunk. If two of them are, then you definitely are. I mean, well, we'll see. Anything can happen.
Anything is possible.
Does look incredible sometimes. Like, oh my God, just do it all. But Westbrook also has the added benefit of being a player who will match the roster construction that LA is, yes, trying to do. Yeah. Like, the plan for LeBron is always surround him with shooters. That's the exact same plan you should have for Russell Westbrook.
Right.
So when LeBron is out, the team will still make sense, because Westbrook will now be the primary option,
right,
and he will be surrounded by shooters. And when you give him, you know, competent bigs, like Big Spain's coming back, Marc Gasol. Like,
they re-signed Dwight Howard. Thank God.
Jesus Christ. And Andre Drummond is now backing up Joel Embiid.
All right, we'll talk about owns that. We're going to talk about that. Because the 2021 Philadelphia Sixers is going to be must-watch television. There's so much shit brewing in that team that I think is just going to absolutely explode. But you talk about shooters.
Like, I saw that and I was like, wait, are they trading Embiid? Because I didn't see that it was like for a minimum contract. I was like, wait a second. Did they just give Drummond a big contract?
You have to, in that instance, you have to think they got Embiid sign off, right? Do you think that they signed Drummond without Embiid?
I assume Embiid loves it. Like, you're backing me up because you can't start.
I would pay more than courtside seats to a Sixers-Celtics game to watch Sixers practice with Embiid and Drummond going head-to-head for whatever, 3 hours. I would pay thousands of dollars to watch that.
The thing is, though, like everything you read about like Embiid, you know, not publicly, is that he's this like awesome, really great guy. And so I almost sort of feel like behind closed doors, he'd be like, all right, Drum, come over here. This is how you get better.
That would be upsetting.
Work on.
That would be
like
upsetting.
He sort of takes him under his wing.
I would not like that. I don't want that.
I do have to say, like, Daryl Morey doesn't check with stars all the time to make trades. Like, maybe he didn't tell Joel. Like, I don't know.
Can I get a, let me see. I need to check Joel's Twitter. I want to see if he said anything. I need to know if he shot off some eyeball emojis or some shit. No, he hasn't tweeted.
I'll go back
in 24
to the
hours.
Lakers real fast. Well,
okay, go to
that.
No, he hasn't tweeted in 24 hours, so he hasn't.
Oh, really? Good for him.
Good for him. Go back to the Lakers.
Don't even bother. I mean, he should be as upset as everybody else in Philadelphia. Like, is Ben Simmons on the team or not?
Just trade Ben Simmons.
Anyway, back to the Lakers real quickly.
Trade him for Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, and 15 first-round picks. Why did the Warriors say no to that? It seems like a super fair trade. Anyway, back to the Lakers.
That is a really good question. I tweeted this out.
The Sixers, between that and then the Raptors trade that was leaked, which was like OG, Kyle Lowry, and it was one other guy, and then like three first-round picks for Ben Simmons. Basically, the Sixers philosophy right now is like they're that player in your fantasy league who sends you this wildly lopsided trade in the hopes that you accidentally hit accept. That is what the Sixers are operating.
But the Warriors one makes sense.
Obviously not the fucking greatest, but that's
a trade where you change it enough and it makes sense for both sides.
Ben Simmons to the Warriors makes sense because he would pair very, very nicely with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Danny Green is still unsigned, by the way. So is Kelly Oubre, speaking of the Warriors. I thought you were going to talk about
Kelly Olynyk, the new starting center for the Detroit Pistons.
Well, I don't like to brag, but we do have the dude with the coolest facial hair.
Kelly Olynyk, who, let me bring these numbers up.
We're just going to jump all over the league.
It's the only way to appropriately
too much has happened. It's
deal with this. Kelly Olynyk, who like in the final stretches of last season, like in the month of April, let's bring up his April and May stats. Averaged 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 steals, and like a block a game, and shot 40% from 3.
Yeah.
MVP Kelly Olynyk, who single-handedly won multiple fantasy leagues because he just decided to be fucking amazing.
And all the haters out there who are like, but his defense, you can kiss my ass, defense. That's a dude who can play the five if you put him in the right position. And he can also play with Beef Stew when Stew's playing down.
100%.
Like, it's, you know, Jeremy can go down. He's a switchable dude. And he's not as bad in certain situations as people say he is. Like, you know, the pick and roll maybe isn't going to be great, but he's not as bad at all of the things that people don't like about him as they say that he is. And he's like, he doesn't fuck up rotations, you know.
No, he's
like,
a smart player.
He's a competent NBA player with a stroke from outside, and that's super fucking important these days. And by the way, I like the signing for the Pistons and the development of their young players. but I also like it as, you know, oh, well, maybe future asset, like a bunch of people are probably going to like a stretch four. So I like it on all counts. I think it's using cap space wisely. And, you know, it, shooting everywhere, right? That's why you, that's why people hate on Westbrook, because he can't shoot threes. You're like, yeah, well, for most of NBA history, like, dudes didn't need to shoot threes, and now we're so far on the other side. But it's like, if you can't shoot threes, you should leave the
country. Suck. You're confidently on, like, the Pistons are winning, like, 55 games this year, right?
I do think it's possible that they...
Yes. Tell me how hyped you are, Natty.
I don't think they're a 50-win team, but I do think that they could split the calendar and make it into the playoffs.
Ooh.
Like, they... Jeremy Grant seemed to prove his point last year to me.
Oh, for sure.
So
are you ready? I mean, the Pistons low key could be, I mean, they could be good. They could be good, especially if Cade Cunningham is everything as advertised. Like, that is a huge piece that you are getting immediately to your roster.
But the realistic point of view, I think, is probably like this coming season will be the real rookie season for Killian Hayes also the rookie season for Cade. And those are two distributors. And usually the freshman season for, you know, the guys that handle the ball are very up and down.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're in the central with not only the Bucks, but also this, speaking of jumping around, this new tool, Chicago Bulls, that's Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Vucevic. Like, okay. I don't know how they all play together, but
in
sure.
Red.
I know this is pretty crushing for you as both the DeMar DeRozan fan and a Chicago Bulls hater.
But also, like, as sort of a Kobe encouragement guy, like, what's Kobe White think of all this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like Kobe White just kind of like drafted me.
Been tossed. I totally forgot. Kobe White is falling into the Minnesota Timberwolves level of forget.
Dude, and you can't with hair like that.
I know,
like,
it's,
that dude's
it's
fun
a crime.
To watch.
Well, fuck, trade man. It. Let's get him. Send him out to somewhere. Where can we? Send him to the Timberwolves. He could be forgotten in Timberwolves.
That the New Orleans Pelicans didn't get more back.
My God,
I cannot
the Pelicans
believe.
The Pelicans, their offseason has been hot garbage. Can I say that? They traded first to the Grizzlies for the privilege of having Jonas Valanciunas on their team and for the Grizzlies to take Eric Bledsoe's contract. They then trade Lonzo to the Bulls for Satoransky, Garrett Temple, and I think like a second round pick. And then send a first round pick to Devontae Graham in a sign and trade because I guess Devontae Graham is better than Lonzo Ball. You want, like, it's just none of it makes
unless a high volume shooter.
Unless you have like
inefficient.
Right. Unless Zion like pulled the big bird and kicked the door down and was like, get rid of Lonzo. Why did you get rid of Lonzo?
Both BI, Brandon Ingram, and Zion publicly said they wanted to have Zoe back.
Why did you get rid of him?
Maybe Zoe wanted to go. That's like, I don't know that he didn't. Like, maybe he was like, get me the fuck out of here. I don't want to play in New Orleans. This town for an NBA franchise sucks.
Sure.
Even if he said that, you have to be able to get more back. Like, he signed a 4-year, $85 million deal. You have to be able to get more back for a guy like that who's 23 or 24, I forget.
Yeah.
Like, this is... Every single decision that David Griffin has made since he took over the team as the GM or president of basketball operations, whatever the fuck, has been bad. Like, you know, Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo, that's why they made the trade, right? Like,
they also lucked into
everything
all of
since
those.
That point,
right.
I guess.
They lucked, I mean, not that you lucked into, I mean, You lucked into it in the sense that Anthony Davis was pissed off and you were it was lucky that the Lakers was the team that was recruiting him the utmost. The NBA helped you out by giving you the first overall pick and when there was a generational talent at one overall try to like ease the blow. And now you haven't, like, you're doing the exact same thing you did with Anthony Davis, where it's just like you're continually to like put a shit team out there surrounding this star player. I am never one for depriving fans of a sports team if they want them, but I need some dumbass billionaire to come in and buy the Pelicans, move them to Seattle, and let's just get the Sonics back with a face of the franchise in Zion, and a desirable location where people are going to act like. The fact that Zion is going to toil away in New Orleans for the next, 3 years until he forces his way out is just like, okay, what are we doing here?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm not a fan of contraction or moving teams. I want expansion. I think more competition is signs of a healthy league. And we need two more teams, in my humble opinion.
That's fair.
But,
that's fair.
Lonzo, Zion and Brandon Ingram have to be looking at these moves so far and being like, okay, so what's next? Like,
right,
if this
right,
is
right.
prelude to something else, then okay. Like, we still work for you. But if there's nothing else, if this is it, fuck you. Fuck you, man. Like, I like Nikhil Alexander Walker. I like Kira Lewis Jr.
You
like Jonas Valanciunas a lot.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, okay, well, if the young guards like make a big leap, especially with point Zion, then maybe that's a playoff team, like a low seed, a play-in game team at least. But I am really extremely unimpressed. And I mean, the hiring of Van Gundy was an absolute disaster. JJ Redick signing should have been great. Fucking sucked. And then you pissed him off and hurt your reputation. There's so many signs of incompetence. And with the trade, I find it hard to believe that's the best you could get. I really do.
Yeah.
And if it was, then you should just re-sign him and tell it. And if Lonzo wants to go, you should just be like, listen, man, we'll find a trade for you, just not right now. You're going to start with us. His defense is better than Devontae Graham's.
Oh my God.
Everything outside
was
shot is more efficient than Devontae Graham. So, like, I don't think.
And we love Devontae Graham. Devontae Graham was a great fantasy name. He came on last year and was like a fantasy darling. I had him on my roster a couple years ago, big fan, but like, yes, this is an abject failure by the New Orleans Pelicans and a win for the Chicago Bulls, because now suddenly this team is like good. You have Lonzo Ball. You have Zach LaVine in your backcourt. You got DeMar DeRozan. Now you use Vucevic at the five. Like that's a good team.
You have Patrick.
Yep.
You also have the finisher still, who, if you keep him, maybe you're hoping for more development. I mean, if you're trading him somehow, I mean, there's the Bulls are doing things that are not impressive, but at least suggest some sort of overall plan. And I mean, I love Patrick so goddamn hard, and I still sort of feel like he's the player I would bet on to be best player eventually out of all the players on this team. But he's also going to be like 19.
Yeah.
You know, so having DeMar there is more ball handling, more playmaking, more distribution. He's fucking sensational. Like, I don't even really. I mean, they'll play a little bit small. Like, DeMar's going to play at the three, right? You don't trade for Lonzo, so you can't start him at the one.
Yeah, no, no. So, Lonzo starts at the one, LaVine at the two, DeMar at the three.
Pat Will at four, and then
Vucevic at five. Yeah, I mean, that's a good starting lineup.
That's a fun team, at least.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fun team.
And I forgot to mention, Natty, the biggest move that the Bulls made, they signed Alex Caruso.
Oh, yeah.
To be their dunker, the bald hype man himself. And I, for one, am absolutely thrilled to see Bleacher Report tweet about Alex Caruso zero times this year because he is no longer on the Lakers. Zero. They are going to not, Alex Caruso will fall from icon to a casual NBA player because he's no longer on the Lakers. Watch. Which is a bummer. He's good. He's a good player. He adds great defense on that.
How could the Lakers not try to work something out?
Oh.
I mean, maybe there were.
This Lakers team is also very confusing. It's just, and
like, oh. Maybe they couldn't do a signage. I don't know. It's like, some of these rules are so Byzantine. Yeah. But I also don't really like the deal for the Bulls. Like, Caruso is a good defensive player and he's a solid player, but I mean, he's a bench player for you. So why? I just would have kept my powder dry. I don't know, man. Like, maybe they're trading Kobe. Maybe they're doing something else.
I think Kobe has to be on the move at some point.
I don't know. It just seems strange to me to be like, oh, we're going to get this amazing shooting guard for our bench.
Yeah. Like, also, Carmelo Anthony's on the Lakers.
Which is fucking great. Finally, Christ.
Just have that reunion happen. Have the banana boat,
dude.
Happen.
Him and Russ again. You know, like, all these people. It's him, weird. Like,
Russ,
all these guys.
LeBron, AD, Dwight Howard. What is this roster? This team would be so fucking good in like the early 20s or early 2000s.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, by the way, speaking of ex-Lakers, I guess JaVale McGee to the Suns. I liked that.
Yeah. Also, did you like the Suns giving Chris Paul a 5-year contract? Because I didn't.
I wouldn't have done it, but I also understand that, you know, you sort of have to.
Oh, for sure. But it is $120 million. Oh, 4 years. My apologies. 4 years. $120 million with for on a 4-year deal. Love it. Absolutely love it, Suns.
I mean, a lot of point guards got paid. A lot of point guards did get paid.
He's not a point guard, but Duncan Robinson got paid. So did Jimmy Buckets.
Hell yeah. Go blue, Dunk. That's
Duncan
awesome.
Robinson, $18 million a year. Goodness gracious. Wow. Is there more?
I'm not really sure. How do you feel about what the Heat did?
What the Heat did? I
don't like it.
Let me bring up their roster. Let me take a gander at this.
Like,
team.
I'd rather have Bam and Duncan, really, and then be like, all right, let's try to trade some of these guys for somebody else.
It's definitely, you know what it feels like? It feels very much like they were on the, you know, they were in the finals in the bubble. Mm-hmm. They got bumped. They got swept by the Bucks. And I think their response was, instead of, and it partially makes sense just because you do have Jimmy Butler on your roster. And he's like fundamental piece of this team, but their response wasn't like, okay, maybe the window passed and we should do the reboot with the young guys, with Duncan, with Tyler Hero, I guess, and Bam. It was like, we're doubling down on old. We're going to build a playoff team with old people. And they got Kyle Lowry, they got PJ Tucker, they got Markieff Morris. That is an investment on veterans. Somehow Udonis Haslam is still on this team, which is incredible.
I mean, they might be able to work something out with Depot cheaply,
you know? Maybe. And you bring him in, hopefully off the bench, as someone who can put together, be healthy and play.
Everybody with an old point guard should be reminded of the finals that we just fucking watched and what Jrue Holiday was able to do
with
Chris Paul.
Right. Now, Kyle,
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I don't love it for the Heat. I know a lot of people were like, way to go, Heat, but locking in Jimmy Butler for 5 years. Like, I think it's, what is it? I saw the numbers where it's like the last year when he's like 30, mid early 30s, he's getting paid like $56 million or something like that.
Also a guy that shoots threes worse than Westbrook does.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Jimmy Butler in his 36th season or 36th aged season in 2025 will be base salary $51 million.
Good for him.
Good for you. That's Jimmy Buckets. $41 million, $44 million, $48 million, $51 million, 33 to 36. Do I think the Heat will regret this? Yes. Ding, ding.
I mean, I don't think they'll regret it because I don't think that we can view this as,
well, again,
like, oh, well, if you had done something else, you would.
Well, there's also
the
no
title.
Contract is not tradable. I refuse right. to believe that no contract is not tradable. So even
I think
that
they'll be good
old,
in a top
million.
Four seed. But
right. But I think that's, I think that I would say that this investment in Jimmy Butler, unless suddenly, like, unless Bam Adebayo takes a massive, like, is a top two big in the NBA and like is this unique player that we have seen him play at times, and you see Duncan Robinson is just continues to shoot, you know, 50% from three, and Tyler Hero can be bubble Tyler Hero off the bench. Yeah. Like, if that is the team you're going to get, then yes, this is a team that can challenge in the East and could win a finals in the next 2 or 3 years. My worry is that, like, I think Bam is going to be really good. I don't think Tyler Hero is ever going to be bubble Hero ever again. I don't think Duncan Robinson, like, I think Duncan Robinson, we've seen the best of Duncan Robinson. He's gotten paid for that. And I just think that putting this much of financial investment in Jimmy Butler, 33-year-old Jimmy Butler, for the next 4 years is like you are locking yourself into a fourth, fifth seed, and you get bumped in the second round for the next 4 years.
Even if everything went right and you made the finals, this is not a team that could beat the Lakers. You can't credibly say, like, oh, they match up really great against the enormous Lakers.
I mean, I don't even think you can say this team credibly beats the Bucks to get out of the East.
Well, hey, Pete. Nobody credibly beats the Bucks. They're the champions.
They are the champions.
Go Milwaukee. God damn, Giannis is a god. That
he is
some
a fucking god.
Shit. And they brought back big Bobby Portis. Good for
they
them.
Did.
Oh, yeah. PJ Tucker signed with the Heat. Forgot
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's there. He's there, the five and the four. Yeah, crazy eyes. Bobby Portis is back and ready to win another one. What else? What other moves have they done? They did something else too that I saw that I was kind of okay with. Maybe it was
the
just
Bucks,
bringing.
You mean?
Yeah, was it just maybe it was just bringing back Bobby Portis?
I don't think they need to do much.
No, you know? Well, especially because, like, you can get Dante. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, getting DiVincenzo back, I think, is obviously good for them.
Dude, I can't believe the Cavaliers gave $100 million to Jared Allen.
I like Jared Allen.
They did. I do too. But what the fuck is this team doing?
But see, like, I think
if
Evan
they had
Mobley...
made trades in the draft and, like, gotten rid, you know, like, made some changes that made sense, then I'd be like, okay, cool. But, like, what the hell are you doing?
Do you think Evan Mobley and Jared Allen can play together?
Yes, but I don't think they should. Mm. I think that Mobley is going to probably be a player that takes a couple of years to mature,
yeah,
just like most bigs, and that you shouldn't expect too much from him right away. Like, he does not have the size to get pushed around and beaten up for.
No, but I think he can play
season.
The four. I think he can play your four because he can guard the perimeter, so he doesn't need to, like, you know, he can switch on picks and stuff on defense. And then you have Jared Allen manning that. I think the bigger thing is that you still have Kevin Love existing, and that's somehow got to, but you are also this backcourt. Also, they did add Ricky Rubio to Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, which is like, okay, I don't understand that one, but sure. Good for you guys.
And Torian Prince is there. I don't know.
It,
like,
is
they
interesting.
Have players I like. I just am not sure that this team knows.
Well, you also
doing.
They are, like, the least trustworthy team to actually do the right thing with those players.
Another David Griffin run team, by the way. Just point that out.
Before we go, can I just read to you my absolutely favorite depth chart in the NBA right now?
Do it.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
Is this your Sixers segment?
No, this is not my Sixers segment. This is my De'Aaron Fox.
God damn.
Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley Jr., and Rashawn Holmes. Now, let me tell you who's
backing up. Dude, the Warriors got Bielitsa for nothing.
Let me tell you who's backing up these players. Tyrese Halliburton, Davion Mitchell, who you drafted, what, six overall? Who's literally, like, what is he doing here? Marquise Hall, Harkless. And then you go and trade for Tristan Thompson. And you have Alex Len. What is this roster?
Yeah, why Len?
Why? What is this roster? I honestly, if I am the Kings, you have to trade Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. Like Tyrese Halliburton and Davion Mitchell, that it, you have invested. You have made that your backcourt of the future. Buddy Hield doesn't want to go. I mean, doesn't want to be there. Buddy Hield should have been gone probably a year ago. De'Aaron Fox, I mean, you're not going to trade him right this instant. What's his contract like? But like, it's such a weird construction of a roster where you're now going to go back to this like three guard offense because that's where your strength is. And just taking Davion Mitchell was the most like panic Kings move ever, where they were on the clock and they were like, shit, I actually don't know who we're taking. So we're just going to take Davion Mitchell at 9 because he played well in his final year at Baylor.
Kings are going to Kings, man.
Kings are going to fucking Kings.
Everything they do is stupid, even when they get so lucky. Bad. It's just like Tyrese Halliburton is so good.
So good.
And he better fucking start. Like, I don't even care what it looks like. He better fucking start. This team, like, Buddy Hield is one of the best shooters in NBA history. That is a fact. That's what all the numbers say. But Buddy Hield is not a star.
No.
He is not a player that can take over a game. He's not a guy that can win just by himself. He's not a superstar. He has no gravity, really. Uh-huh. Like, all you know about Buddy Hield is that he's wanted to leave as soon as he's been there.
As soon as he got drafted.
And always a good like, sign. The fact that the Kings even fuck that. But this is a team, like I just said, Bielitsa, they basically got nothing for him. Like Bogdan Bogdanovic left for nothing.
Yep.
They just don't know what they're doing. And they do have interesting players. I like De'Aaron Fox a lot. If you trade him, that's such a bad look. It's such a fucking bad look. But lots of teams would be happy to have him. He's a dynamic player.
He's a 23-year-old point guard who's locked up for the next 5 years.
I mean, there's a lot of those now, actually.
That's true. A lot of, you're right. A lot of point guards getting money.
But it's just like, what is the point of this team? Like Bagley is almost like that's when the pulse stopped. Like could have had Luka, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now your 100%. Franchise is just stone cold.
You're
dead.
Just perpetually going to be stuck in that.
And I mean, like, I hope Bagley turns into a good player, but they certainly don't seem to have like a great medical staff. And it doesn't really seem like they put their players into positions to succeed. They almost succeed despite themselves. I really don't like their coach.
There's just nothing to like about them. The Kings, I know you were just talking about how you don't want to move. You want to expand. Let's in my purchasing of the Pelicans and sending them to Seattle, let's purchase the Kings and send them somewhere else.
Vancouver.
And then
Albuquerque.
Can we then be like the Memphis Blues or something like that? And then return Vancouver Grizzlies.
Sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You sign off on it, Natty, then it's happening.
Also means that Memphis and Minnesota can go to the Eastern Conference, which is what they should be anyway.
That's there. And then you can get your two expanded teams too. You can throw one in Las Vegas and one in, I don't know,
Quebec.
Keep that Canadian basketball Dream alive. All right, before we go, is there any final touch points you have?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Indianapolis.
Okay. Ask me. Ask away.
What do you think this team is being smart or being stupid?
Let's see. Tell me, well, I mean, when you can keep TJ McConnell for whatever 4 years and
I'll slap you across the face. $35 million. Anything about TJ McConnell. Don't you fucking dare. That's Joel Embiid's best friend.
I mean, don't, I think, slight him. So what's your gripe? Because to me, are you griping about the fact
I don't know if I have one.
I think that this is a team that isn't making any serious moves because they know that they weren't a complete team last year with TJ Warren out.
And with their awful coach.
And with Caris LeVert playing only a part of the season for them.
I like so many players on this team. I basically like every player on the
team. I mean, their starting lineup, Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert, TJ Warren, Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner, that's a good team.
And TJ, like, I like that team a lot.
TJ McConnell coming off the bench.
I liked Aaron Holiday a lot.
Well, they traded him away, but.
I know, whatever. And now they have an actual coach who knows what he's doing. Like, I kind of feel like
if they had made
an addition, it would have actually been a subtraction. You know what I mean? Unless it was like an upgrade from Miles Turner. Like, if you could have really,
I mean, they've also the five. They've been trying to move on from Miles Turner, as it seems like, for the last 50 years.
But like, what kind of, like, who would you want? Let's say you have God level powers and you can just put whatever center you want at with a Pacers uniform, or maybe you don't want a center. Maybe you want Sabonis to play.
Can we, I mean, you maybe as a defensive liability, but you can do the, you know, the Jokic point center, the whole offense flows through him kind of.
Would Porzingis be better than Miles Turner?
No. I don't have beef with Miles Turner, to be honest.
Would you rather trade Sabonis?
I mean, you would get the most back for Sabonis, but I feel like Sabonis it depends on like what you want this team to be. If you want this team to be Sabonis, like, is this offense built around Domantas Sabonis? Then obviously you keep him. If this is like, we are going to be a guard team, this is Caris LeVert and TJ Warren's team, then trade Domantas. Like, Domantas Sabonis has emerged to have those point center, point forward skills that in order to utilize them, they need to be running, you know, they need to be running point, or they need to be involved in the movement of the offense. And so if you're not going to do that, then it's like, okay, well, now you're kind of ignoring a part of this player's game that they do at an elite level. And if you are going to make that a vital part, then you would obviously keep them around and then maybe trade. I can't say I've watched enough Pacers to really have a firm opinion on it, but like, I have always been maybe blindly pro Miles Turner, and I haven't quite understood the need to trade him.
It doesn't really seem like the league thinks much of him either.
Right.
Like, he's definitely been available.
Yes. He feels Roy Hibberty in that sense, where it's like, and he had this moment of everyone was like, oh my God, Miles Turner shot 30, like back in 2018-19, shot 38% from three and blocked three balls a game. And everyone's like, ooh.
Yeah.
But he blocked 3.5 balls this last season and shot 33% from three.
He's not bad. I really do feel like maybe the front office was like, Mulligan, man, like, that coach fucked us. People were sick. Like, he now we have LeVert, TJ Warren was out, Brogdon missed.
I think they're just trying to run it back and see what happens, which I'm here for.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Like, they have a real coach, and I like all the players. And I feel like if that roster is at 100%, maybe they're a lot better than some of the other teams in the East. Like, not apex, but, you know, like, they're a clear, like, fourth seed or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially since the Knicks are about to collapse in on themselves like a dying star.
Oh, yeah. We didn't say anything about New York, New York. What do you think? They got your boy, Fournier. Look it up, folks. Do not look it up.
They paid him a healthy sum, and good for Fournier for getting that money. They also paid everyone else on that team a healthy sum. They burnt through that cap space. So,
yeah, without like really, I mean,
without really improving the team. So good for them.
The first thing I thought was like, oh, these are goodwill signings. This is like,
and then they didn't say Reggie agents, Bullock though. Reggie Bullock went to the Dallas.
Oh,
Mavericks.
He went to Dallas. Yeah, I don't.
Which is a great move for Dallas.
Totally. Yeah, Knicks, for sure.
What are you doing here?
I guess I'm not surprised. I'm just surprised, sort of a little disappointed.
It's a situation of like this Knicks had a good season, and now you're like, well, that was fun while it lasted. The Knicks are back to Knicksing themselves, and that's what's going to happen.
But it's also all about timing every year, right? So, like, if you couldn't get Lowry and you couldn't get Dame, and there weren't really any other, you know, big names that you should try to throw all your chips into, like, these are also tradable contracts,
right? I mean, everyone is anticipating, like, the cap is going up, so everyone's anticipating that, and all these contracts that are massive contracts that are being handed out will likely not be as massive in the next couple of years because everyone's contracts are steadily increasing.
And honestly, like, the Nerlens contract, like Nerlens and Mitrov, they still need to figure that out. It is like the Fournier thing though, just so doesn't make any sense to me.
Love it. I mean, I'm sad to see him go, but I love to see him leave.
Like, trade for Buddy Hield then. You know what I mean? Like, why are you giving Fournier money? Just try to use some of your assets to go get Buddy Hield. They don't want him.
One will never know, Natty. One will never know. But you will know in the future if anything does happen, because you, dear listener, are subscribed to the podcast. And if you aren't, then make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also the occasional fantasy baseball show that we drop. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Long Two Podcast. We won't be back at you next week. We'll be back at you in a couple weeks. Yours truly is taking a little well-deserved vacation time. But until then, Natty, stay safe, my friend.
You do the same, everybody. Put your mask on and get vaxxed.
Amen.